The PGA Tour presents the fusion of golf, music, sports, and entertainment. Golf Talk America, streaming live on PGATour.com. Follow us today and every day on Twitter at Golf Talk America. Now, the Golf Talk America crew.
And hello again, once again, everybody. Tim Matthews in with you, and we're coming to you on a Saturday. We don't always do shows on Saturday, but we're doing it this time because it's, of course, a very, very big day in the PGA Tour. It is the culmination, if you will, of the FedEx Cup playoffs. We're talking about the Tour Championship. It is day three, Saturday, and the third round underway at the Tour Championship at Eastlake Golf Course in Atlanta. And Dustin Johnson still has the lead. He's had the lead almost has from the very, very beginning. Not played exceptionally well today, just even par through four holes, but still hanging on to his lead that just one shot over Kevin Chappell, who's also at even par. A couple other guys are doing extremely well. Bubba Watson in particular was at 5 under. He had just bogeyed the 14th hole, so he drops back to 4 under on the day, but it still keeps him 1 over for the round. He started today at 5 over, so he's having the best round of the day so far. Jordan Spieth is 1 under, Phil Mickelson 1 under. So there's a number of guys on the top of the leaderboard, but nobody's coming after Dustin Johnson. They could if they put a little bit of pressure on, and one of the most surprising is Charles Schwartzel. Charles is 4 under for today's round through 7 holes. He's already 4 under, and he's 3 under now in the tournament, tied for 4th. So Schwartzel, who began, as you remember, in dead last, 30th place at the top 30 guys that made it to the Tour Championship, he is now just 4 shots behind Dustin Johnson, and that would be a miracle. Again, if he were to win the Tour Championship, a lot of other things would have to happen. One did happen. Jason Day withdrew, so he's out of there. But Dustin Johnson would almost have to do the same thing for Schwartzel to win this. But Charles Schwartzel has come all the way from the back of the pack, if you will, in a NASCAR sense. And he is now near the leaders as they're finishing or getting close to the opening 9 holes of their third round. All week, our man Frank Bassett has been out at the Tour Championship in Eastlake, and he joins us now from Eastlake in the Media Center. And it took a while to get there, Frank, because you had to maneuver through a bunch of runners that surprisingly had a race, I guess some charity race or something, going through the streets of Atlanta this morning.
Atlanta, you're on the air. Larry Kingville, man. Unbelievable. We're staying at a great place, the Omni Hotel at CNN Center. They're our host hotel this week for Golf Talk America. And unbeknownst to us this morning, we pull out and we stopped, and there are thousands of people doing some sort of a run here in town. I don't know what it's for. They didn't look healthy. Runners never do. You know. No, I'm just kidding. But yeah, it took us forever to get here, not because of Atlanta traffic, but because of the streets that were jammed with people who want to be healthy. So there you go. But we're here. We're in the media center, and it's having a fun time.
Good deal. Yeah, you're right. When they have those events, they just shut down everything. And yeah, if you're not aware of it, then suddenly you're like 12 miles out of your way trying to figure out where the red cones stop, and you got to be able to make it down streets. And it's a kick in the head sometimes. I'm sure it's a good cause, and it's a great thing that they're running, but I'm telling you, brutal. It does shut down cities when they have those. Yeah.
Well, here's the other thing. We finally get to where we need to go. We get to 20, and I'm trying to get onto 20, and my phone rings, and some guy named Tim Matthews is calling me. And I'm looking at my phone, I miss my exit, and I have to go back through downtown.
Oh,
I had to turn around. So when you called this morning, I went, oh, no, I couldn't get over. But anyway, we're here. It's going to be fun. I've got some our good friends from Azalea House, AzaleaHospitality.com, are hosting us this week, as they did at Crooked Stick, and they will be hosting us at the Ryder Cup. So for all of our listeners out there, in fact, we've got Billy Lombard sitting over here on a headset listening to the show right now, Chris Demain from Azalea House, both. Marcus is not here this week. He's missing in action somewhere. We don't know what he's up to, but probably something good, I'm sure. But for our listeners, AzaleaHospitality.com is where you need to go for any, whatever it is, any event. It doesn't matter that it's the Masters, and they have the fabulous hospitality house at the Masters. But any other event, contact AzaleaHospitality.com and see what they can do for you, because they certainly have been great friends to us, and we'll be there at the Masters this year with all these guys. They're going to put a stage in. I think I've convinced Marcus to put in an infinity pool. Billy's grinning now. And we got Seymour Putter's going to be there with putters and a putting green, and we're going to have some contests. And going to have Laura Briner there singing, and Lauren Gold from The Who's going to be there. And they have a lot of celebrities that come through that house. So, but you don't have to be a celebrity to go to it. So you got to check them out, AzaleaHospitality.com. Sure. And I have to say that our good friend Russ Ortiz 2GG Apparel has supplied us with fabulous shirts this week for the Golf Talk America crew. So, and his a great cause, too. His cause is feeding starving children. And so go out to 2ggapparel.com and check out Russ Ortiz and all the good stuff he's doing. You might remember that name. He played a little baseball in the day, you know, just a little bit. So anyway.
Again, Dustin Johnson on the fourth hole just hit a great approach shot, par four, fourth hole, and he has got about 6 feet for his birdie. He is at 7 under. Kevin Chappell is at 6 under. So Kevin Chappell hanging right in there on the heels of Dustin Johnson, and both just even par. But again, a great look at birdie here for Dustin Johnson coming up in just a couple of minutes. We'll keep you updated and let you know what happens on that one. We also have Brian Harper join us a little bit later on. He is the director of sales in Atlanta for Top Golf. And I'm sure most of you know Top Golf. It's all over the country, but it's spreading almost on a weekly basis. They're opening more, but it's that golf facility, if you will, that is so much more than just people say, well, it's like a golf range. No, it's a lot more than that, where you have double, triple deck sometimes. They have food service and wait staff there to give you food and drinks while you're playing different games. There are chips in the balls. You play almost a computerized game while you're hitting balls with your friends. It's a great, great concept, and it's caught fire in the last 4 or 5 years. I think the Dallas-Fort Worth area here has 5 or 6 of them. They're in Chicago, obviously Atlanta, all over, and they keep expanding. So a really cool cause, and we're going to cool business, and we're going to talk to Brian Harper coming up in just a little bit. So weather-wise, again, I'll let you give us a little insight here, Frank. It seems like the weather's just been perfect, hot and steamy a little bit, but otherwise no problems with the weather at all there in Atlanta, right?
It's brutal. The weather's brutal. Yesterday was a record high. Today will be another record high. It's hot. It's hot. It's humid, unseasonably hot for this time of year. And the course is holding up well because they got a lot of rain last weekend here in Atlanta. But the course is in fabulous condition. It's just steamy to go out there and walk around, I'll tell you that. It's hot. Hey, I want to go back to somebody here. You talked about Johnson and Chappell and Schwartzel and all those guys. You missed somebody, unless I wasn't listening. And that's Ryan Moore. Ryan Moore today is 3 under. He's 5 under for the tournament right now through 5 holes. So, you know, out of nowhere comes Ryan Moore roaring back.
Anything's possible. I mean, you never know. It's and the interesting thing, we talked all week long with you there at East Lake Golf Course. We talked all week about the implication for the three guys that we're mostly keeping an eye on for Ryder Cup, of the three that are playing here at the Tour Championship, and how they're doing. And up until recently, up until just a little bit ago today, Bubba Watson was a guy who was near the back of the pack. We're going, well, Bubba's not helping his cause here. Daniel Berger and Justin Thomas and Bubba were the three guys everybody was keeping an eye on. And we were kind of wondering, well, suddenly, and he's not necessarily winning this thing, but suddenly Bubba, as I said, was 4 under on the day. It puts him plus one, which means he's 8 shots back, but at least he's getting back into the pack here. He's now in the middle right there, tied at 15th. At the same time, the other guys that we're talking about, Justin Thomas is 1 over in his round today. He is even par now for the tournament. Daniel Berger is 1 under. But that only improves him to +2 for the tournament. So Daniel Berger right now, of those three, is in last place. And we're not saying that Davis Love is going to look at the standings after this tournament is over and say, well, who finished in those three guys? Who finished the top of those three? Then he's on the team. But certainly a lot of eyes are on him, that they want him to be hot. At the same time, Frank, the thing that's kind of scary is that Jimmy Walker and J.B. Holmes are both on the team already. J.B. Holmes was a captain's pick. Jimmy Walker made it on his points. They're at the bottom of the standings right now. And again, there's only 30 guys. We forgot to mention that Jason Day quit. He resigned. He called it quits again yesterday. And I think I predicted that earlier in the week that he just has drama. Things always seem to happen. And now the back problem that had him withdraw from the BMW has had him withdraw again. And so Jason Day is out of this tournament. So now there's 29 golfers. Kevin Na is in dead last. And then Jimmy Walker and J.B. Holmes are right behind him. So not good. If you're Davis Love and want these guys to be hot heading to the Ryder Cup, two of your players, J.B. Holmes, Jimmy Walker, oh, let me bring up another one, Phil Mickelson, are at the back of the pack. That's not good.
No, it's not at all. But I'll tell you what, this golf course, the rough here, you literally, if you walk in the rough, you can't see your shoes. it's plush. It's thick. It's juicy, as Johnny Miller calls it. And yesterday, Mark Emmelman, we were out there with PGA Tour Live on-course reporter Mark Emmelman, And we were taking golf balls and just dropping them in the rough, and they just sank all the way to the bottom. You couldn't even see it. So you spray it out of the fairway, you're in trouble here at East Lake. And that's always been the case here, but especially this week. They've toughened this course up, and these scores are showing it. But Dustin Johnson's 8 under, and Chapel
is
6.
He just made his birdie putt,
Yeah, he just made his birdie,
and by the way, and Jordan Spieth just hit a great tee shot on the par 3, ninth hole, and he's got to tap it. He's got about a foot and a half for his birdie, so that'll put him to 1 under on the day and 1 under for the tournament. Again, you look at the guys, whether or not this has any implication on the Ryder Cup, which, of course, we're all looking at down the road a little bit outside of Minneapolis, and I mentioned the guys that were falling in the back of the pack. Well, Sneds is not playing well. He's 2 over for the day, and he's 3 over for the tournament as far as the Americans and how they're looking so far. And Patrick Reed, 1 under on the day, but he's still plus 2. Bubba, again, Bubba is now bogeyed 15, so Bubba went from 5 under on the day to now he's at 3 under on the day and plus 2. So the American golfers that are on the Ryder Cup, Kuchar's at 16th, tied for 16th right now, they're not looking so great. Now, again, it may not have implications for the Ryder Cup, but I'd certainly rather have them near the top of the leaderboard and playing well, and we'll see how they finish things off tomorrow, than kind of struggling. But so far, it's not a golden day for the American Ryder Cuppers. Well, again, see what happens with these guys as they finish things out a little bit. By the way, Rory McIlroy is tapping in for his par, I believe, on 6. Yeah, so he's at 2 under for the tournament. Rory's playing pretty well for the European Ryder Cup guys that they're in competition in this tournament. So that's kind of an overall look at everybody that is playing and doing the best they can. As you said, Ryan Moore playing really well. So is Jason Duffner, a name that we hadn't brought up very much lately. Jason Duffner is at 3 under for both the tournament and for today's round. And Ryan Moore, 5 under for the tournament now, and he is 3 under after just 5 holes. So Ryan Moore is red hot at the opening round here.
He is.
Opening holes of the third round.
Yeah. Hey, you know what?
Guess we got somebody there to talk to?
I think we do. I mean, I think we've got somebody here to talk to.
Let's get him in there.
I think that our good friend, Brian Harper, he's the director of sales for Top Golf. Been there 3 years. He opened both the Alpharetta, Georgia location and the Midtown location, which I believe, I'll let him talk about it. Brian, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
It's good to have you here.
Happy,
we got to get to Top Golf. We need to go hit some balls.
You have to, you know. You can stay out of the heat, out of the elements there with the fans.
Yes.
You don't have that on the course here.
Now that's what I think y'all should put in those, I can't say the word because it's a fan company. It's big ASS fans. You should put a big fan there and have it blow across so you can effectively have wind in Top Golf.
I know what you're talking about. We do have, you know, fans in each bay.
Do you really?
We do. So we are climate controlled for both the hot weather and the cold weather.
That's super. Well, welcome in. Tell us a little bit about, number one, how you got into this, and I really want you to elaborate on the fact that the Midtown location here in Atlanta, I believe, is your first urban endeavor with Top Golf.
It is. So just about 3 years ago, I received a phone call from a recruiter that asked me about the job. My name had kind of got thrown in the hat from some radio buyouts that they did here in the Atlanta market to try to give some test of what the excitement would be here. And my wife's entire family is from Dallas, where we're headquartered. I reached out to them. They were excited about it, so I took the opportunity, and it's just been a phenomenal ride since. Anywhere you go, you just kind of feel like a celebrity when people want to hear and know about Top Golf.
Sure.
The excitement of how many of these that we are putting in the ground. You know, he elaborated on how much we've grown in the last 5 years. You know, when people ask me, how long have you been around? We have been since 2000, but realistically, we're only about a 5-6 year old company with what we've learned in our growth so far.
Well, it's hotter than fire, Kate. I mean, it's a hot commodity. And I know since your wife's family is from Dallas, you probably have seen this guy you're talking to from Dallas on CBS television there in Dallas, Tim Matthews. So, tell me, have you been to Top Golf in Dallas?
I've been to several. Like I said, I think there's four or five different locations in the suburbs around, and one just off of downtown as well. And so I think I've been to all of them. And you know what's neat about them, Frank? And I'm guessing there's not one in Nashville. Am I right?
Well,
on
they're
that?
Building one there? In Nashville.
They're building one in Nashville. Okay. So it'll be there next year.
And we're going to.
You're really going to enjoy it because it's much more than just, you know, golfers. If you want to take people that don't even play a lot of golf, and sometimes your wife wants to come along, because it's a place to have a party. I mean, you can go there for birthdays or anniversaries or all kinds of things, because it's like a nightclub. There's There's video screens. You can watch your favorite shows. Like I said, there's weight service. It's a great concept because it's not just about hitting golf balls. There's so much more that you can do there. There's fire pits at some of the ones here in Dallas so that you wouldn't even know that there's golf being played other than the occasional crack of a golf ball. It's a really neat concept.
We didn't need Brian here. I mean, you can just be the spokesperson for Top Golf.
I'm taking that. Yeah. I'm put him on payroll.
Yeah. You should. He doesn't get paid to do this.
No. It's a very cool concept, and I am curious. There's also a connection, maybe even nationally, but there's a connection here in Dallas. Jerry Jones' son-in-law, Shay, is one of the investors, if you will, or co-owners of the ones, and I guess that's just here in Dallas. I think, is that how it works, Brian? Are they all locally owned, or is it all corporate owned, and then you decide where the locations are going to be?
Yes, everything is corporately owned right now. We put everything back into it to keep, you know, populating these and growing them across the country. The only ones that will be franchised will be our overseas markets.
Okay, wow. Now, the Nashville one, is it slated to open when?
We hope for the summer, I believe. Summer, okay. Could be the fall. There's some logistical things that we're working on there, but we are extremely excited about that venue.
Well, we want to broadcast live from the grand opening.
Oh, you got it.
We'll put Golf Talk America there, and we'll just bring the banners, bring Tim in, you know, put him in a tutu, and put him on stage.
You got it. That market is really excited about Golf coming.
Nashville is golf crazy. And plus, you're going to draw from people who aren't golfers, like you say, about Top Golf.
Correct.
All the people who come to Nashville for country music.
Oh, yeah.
We'll come over there, and you're going to get a bunch of country music stars.
Oh, we are. And there's that venue will have a music venue inside it as well.
Really?
So there's going to be opportunity for live shows and all that in Nashville. So we do a good job. Our development team does a really good job of catering to the markets.
That's fabulous. It's kind of like us. We're the fusion of golf, music, sports, and entertainment. Golf Talk America, the show. You guys are also actually the same fusion. I mean, you got it all
a lot
going
of synergies.
On.
Yeah, absolutely. We
so you said something interesting before the show about your Midtown location here in Atlanta, that your Alpharetta is more of a higher income area of Atlanta, North Atlanta. But tell me again about the Midtown location. You say Alpharetta kind of closes around 10 or 10:30, and I'll let you go.
Well, we all stay open until 2 a.m. on the weekends, and then we close at midnight on Sunday through Thursday. But it obviously drops off with it being a family atmosphere in Alpharetta, which is still great. But what you see there is more of your traditional golfers that are coming in the morning to hit golf balls, work on their swing, etc., always using it as an entity to get out of the rain and still play. Midtown, totally different. Midtown, we start really kicking off at 8 p.m., and then by 10, we're really going. And then
wow.
We have people there that we're having to ask to leave by 2 a.m., which in a golf world where it's dark by 9 p.m.,
right.
Phenomenal.
That's fabulous. So you come off the course, you go practice your game. Does Topgolf offer any instruction?
We do. We have at every facility, we have at least two directors of instruction. We try to get them PGA certified. But they are phenomenal trainers. They have great technology around them to help work on everybody's swing, and they have done a phenomenal job. They also enhance the event guest experience and create competition, tournaments. That's one thing that we've thrived in is bringing tournaments off of the green grass to Topgolf and condense it and give people that option to get in and have their annual tournament touch that clientele. You want to do it in the dead of winter? We can add that.
Now, I understood that some of your Top Golfs have a conference area where you could have a meeting there or an outing for a company.
We do. So your Generation 2, which is kind of the last 4 years and on, have a 3,000-square-foot signature room that is for conferences, expos, whatever you want to do in there, it's yours. We also have a 12-person conference room for kind of smaller, private, intimate meetings. But most of our events are done on the tee line. About 90% of our events are done right there on the tee line where we set up your food, your buffet. We give you event ambassadors to take care of everything. You golf, you eat, you drink, you have a great time, and it's all done right there.
I'm in. Let's go. Let's go. Headsets off. We're out of here. See you, Tim.
We're being joined by Brian Harper. He's a director of sales in Atlanta for Topgolf, a national franchise that is all over the country. How many do you have now in the nation, Brian?
We are getting set to open our 30th location in Jacksonville, wow. Florida in November.
You know, I was just talking to Mark Williams, PGA Tour media official. His wife is Nancy Scranton, who's the brand ambassador for the French Lick Hotel. And he was telling me about that. He's excited. He can't wait to get there. He lives on Ponte Vedra Country Club.
Yep.
Or no, St. Augustine Country Club, I'm sorry. But he said, no, I'm going to Topgolf. I love those places.
That's another market that is extremely excited. And we've put golf in communities that aren't really that big of golf communities. Portland just opened. They're doing absolutely phenomenal.
Well, you would think that, and that kind of weather, too.
I'm kind of curious, Brian, too. I'm curious about the locations that you have. Is the biggest challenge really the finding a spot that, I don't know how many acres you need. Do you need 10 acres or how many acres to put a Topgolf facility in? And that's got to be a big challenge in some of these cities because you try to be near to the downtown area or in a populated area where there isn't always available real estate, is there?
You're correct. We obviously want to be in a market that will have high visibility. We try to be in areas closer to interstates, highways that give you that. You see the nets. That's the biggest marketing tool that we have. You have nets that are sitting 170 feet in the air, and people resonate, oh, there's Topgolf. So we do want to have that high visibility area, but you're right. There's not too many places, especially in these urban areas, that we would love to go and see and get into after we've seen the success of Midtown that have 10 acres available for you to purchase.
Your Nashville facility will be right on the river, won't it?
Correct.
Yeah, right on the river. And that's, you know, the stadium's right there, downtown, yep. Broadway. I mean, everything happens in downtown Nashville. That's a hopping place, and it's always busy.
Quickly growing.
Yeah.
Very burgeoning city.
Let me tell you, it is. Trust me. I scream. I'm on the phone talking to people, screaming at people in cars. We're bumper to bumper in Nashville, which is good.
You
it's
can't
good
go
for the economy.
Visit, though. Hotels are out through the roof.
It's expensive.
It is.
The Omni is one of our hosts, and one of the most expensive Omnis to stay in, even more expensive than New York. It's Nashville, Tennessee. It's a fabulous. I'll tell you what, that Omni Nashville, you got to stay there. It's great. It's a fabulous place. Anyway, this is cool. I'm looking forward to this. Now, are you going to do anything during the Masters? Are you going to working with Azalea House or anybody to maybe put on some demonstrations?
We are always open to taking our marketing team, our efforts, anywhere we can, whether there's going to be people, whether it's golf or whether it's a local brewery where people are just trying to have fun. We will take our team and infiltrate in whatever way we can be represented.
How cool would that be to have Topgolf with some simulators at Azalea House? And the people that those guys get, Billy Lombard and Marcus Brunell and Chris DeMain, I mean, last year, Tim, and you know, we were sitting there doing the show, and in walks Plaxico Burress, and in walks Randall McDaniel, and everybody, I mean, and they just come up and get on the show. And so we're going to have putters and things there from Seymour Putter Company. And that'd be cool. I don't know. I don't mean to put the cart before the horse here and put anybody on the spot, but I'd be all in for that. I got to tell you.
We have a few months to start planning, so we can get the ball rolling.
That'd be good.
We're being joined by Brian Harper with Topgolf in Atlanta. And Brian, I'm curious, there's certainly a projection of in the next 10 years, will there be 100 Topgolfs all over the country? Is there a number, is there a goal that you guys have to put more of these in and you seem like you're on track for whatever that number is, but is there a grand scheme for what number it would be, or is it just you go as far as you want to go?
I think that, you know, go as far as we want to go is, you know, I've heard some numbers tossed around, nothing that is set in stone. We want to look at any market that wants to have us, so we get excited about that. So I don't know that there is an exact ceiling for us. I know that we continue to grow. We've looked at surrounding high markets, and a lot of our markets are just getting their first. So obviously there are more to come. So it's going to be over the 100 mark. Couldn't tell you where we could stop, though.
Wow.
And for people that want to know, too, how this actually works, is give them an idea of the computerization of the game and the chips that are in the balls, which are normal golf balls. You're not going to feel any difference. But it's target golf, and so you can play all these different games with a computer screen right there in front of you.
Correct. So the TOP in Topgolf stands for target-oriented practice. So the field is a 215-yard field with 11 targets placed in the field starting from 25 yards out to 215 yards. Every bay, which our Generation 2s have 102 bays in each venue, so we can have up to 612 golfers at any time golfing.
Good
and
Lord.
What they're doing is they're hitting a golf ball with a microchip in it and trying to score in one of the 11 targets. And then there's 9 different games that you can play to compete against up to 6 people in your bay. So think bowling, think darts, but you're hitting golf clubs.
How cool is that? How cool is that?
Yeah, it is very, cool. And I remember when they opened the one in Allen, a suburb of Dallas, a few years ago, and I was out there for the grand opening, and they brought in Tony Romo, and who else was there? They had Hunter Mahan. They had four or five different guys who were hitting balls, and Tony Romo was a very, very good amateur golfer. And they were fascinated with it. I mean, you get your competitive juices flowing no matter how good or not so good you are, because you can, again, hit great wedge shots or seven irons or drivers or whatever you're hitting into different target areas. And if you're accurate, the points just keep building up. So it's not just about power golf, and it's not about guys that on a golf course play. It kind of opens it up to, like I said, the people that aren't even phenomenal golfers or play all that much to really having a fun time there for a couple of hours.
Finesse golf.
It is, and you know, I think the great stat that I love telling people more than anything is that 80% of our business is people who have never picked up a golf club before.
80%.
80% is people come in off the streets, have never played been on a green grass course, and are picking up a game that for the long time has just been not available to people, and here they are, and we're seeing venues that are doing 600,000 guests a year.
Good
and 80% of those don't play golf.
I can't get a franchise.
And like I said, Frank, what's really cool about it is it's all weather. I mean, if you're in a colder climate, they have heaters up in there. It's kind of like a patio setting, if you will, at a restaurant you go to. They have cooling fans and air condition if you want that in the summertime. They've got heaters if you need it in the wintertime. So you can play year-round and have a great time and hit balls. It's an amazing idea. I'm not sure who came up with it. But whoever did, it certainly has worked and been phenomenally successful. And, Brian, we really appreciate your time, taking time to talk to us. Continued success there in the Atlanta area and continued success with Topgolf in general. And you need to work on getting back to Dallas. Get back to the heart of golf, baby. Get back here.
Uh-oh.
I just was there yesterday.
Oh.
Just there yesterday. There you go. But thank you very much for having me on.
We appreciate it very much. Thank you for being part of our show. And we look forward to seeing you soon. All right, thanks.
Yeah, it's a cool concept.
It really is. It's neat.
It's a neat idea, and you can hit every club in your bag. Now, there's nets, as he said, all around these.
Right.
So since it is usually in a populated area, you're not going to hurt anybody. But it is, I mean, it's kind of unique that he'd say that you would think the big nets might be an eyesore, right? People are like, look at those. It actually is a great marketing tool because you see those nets, which, again, are 100 feet high or something. Oh, there's Topgolf, because even if you hit your driver, if you're a big hitter, if you're Dustin Johnson, you can hit your driver. It just goes into the nets at the other end of the range. So they can't maybe accommodate a 400-yard drive, but it's a lot of fun. You can hit every club in your bag. It's not just for wedges and, you know, nine irons. You can hit every club in your bag. Pretty cool.
Speaking of the golf tournament, really cool. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
We're coming to you from the Tour Championship, and that's where Frank is and Brian. They're in the media center at East Lake Golf Club. And Dustin Johnson, while we've been talking, has built his lead up now to 3 shots. Boy, we started talking with Brian. He had a 1-shot lead. Now it's a 3-shot lead as Kevin Chappell has bogeyed and Dustin Johnson just birdied the 6th hole. And you know what he did there? I'm sorry, in the 5th hole, Dustin Johnson, Frank? It's 450-yard par 4. Well, he drove it 350. So he's 100 out, which always makes it a little bit easier.
Oh,
Lord. Hits a wedge to about 12 feet and makes the birdie. And a 450-yard par 4 becomes nothing for Dustin Johnson, and there you go. It's his driver and his putter both working, and he has now built up a 3-shot lead at 9-under here in the kind of early going first 9 holes for him in the 3rd round. So Dustin Johnson, I don't know if anybody's going to be able to catch this guy.
I don't think any 2 people can beat Dustin Johnson at the Ryder Cup, so we don't need another pick. Just I mean, you could put the shortest hitter in the world with him. Good pairing, Dustin Johnson and Zach Johnson.
Who would want to play with that guy?
Johnson and Johnson.
Johnson and Johnson and Johnson. There's some marketing going on right there.
Can you imagine how good Zach Johnson would play if he were playing off of Dustin Johnson's drives? Because he's
deadly accurate
and a great putter. Oh, my God.
That's what's so rare. And I don't even know, Frank, with Tiger back in the heyday, if Tiger was as accurate. And he probably wasn't even as long. I mean, we all know that, that Tiger kind of brought maybe John Daly before that, but brought the big drive aspect to golf that wasn't really there before, and just swing out of your shoes kind of thing.
Right.
But Tiger really made it on his recovery shots a lot of times because he wouldn't always find the fairways. Dustin Johnson, as Paul Stankowski brought up to us a couple of weeks ago, since he went to that fade shot and kind of really got a more controlled drive, He's still pounding at 350, but he's hitting a nice little fade that always seems to find the fairway. Well, if you can get that combination of distance and accuracy, it's just almost impossible to beat, isn't it? Yeah, it is.
Just forget about it.
Forget about it.
Yeah, there you go. Forget about it. Well, McIlroy he's hacking it around a little bit out there. I'm sitting here watching it. He's just, I mean, he's just par. Nothing's happening.
With the problem with him, and we'll see what happens at Hazeltine, the problem is always going to be the putter for him. You know, he can hit nice shots. He's obviously a big driver on the eighth hole. He drove the ball 340 yards and just left it in the rough. But he leaves himself, you know, 8-10 feet for birdies, and he can't make the putts. Now here on the eighth hole, I'm watching right now live as he's bringing it back. He's got about a 3 or 4 footer for birdie on the eighth hole. Should be able to make that one. But, boy, what a difference. That's what I'm saying. If you can make the putts, the other side of that is Jordan Spieth is having trouble with his driver, trouble with a lot of things. He's leaving himself with 30-foot birdie putts, but fortunately for him, that's his shot. He's much better with a 30-foot birdie putt than a 4-foot birdie putt.
Yeah,
so
no kidding.
I guess he needs to start. Yeah, he needs to look for the targets about 25 feet away, and he'll be in better shape. But it looks like, at least right now, Dustin Johnson has a comfortable lead over Kevin Chappell. Jason Duffner continues to play well too. Frank, we mentioned him earlier. He just chipped in on the ninth hole. He's now 5-under and 5-under for both the day and the tournament. He's tied at third right now with Ryan Moore. So it's a little bit of a cramped leaderboard, but Dustin's getting a little bit of separation right now.
Yeah, and he'll continue to do so. I mean, I just don't see anybody beating him. I wanted to see Spieth do good just because of the relationship that we all love Jordan Spieth, the relationship that the people at Azalea House have with his foundation. But he's kind of struggling out there. You know, I talked to Phil's the director of PR. I had lunch with him yesterday, and he was talking about Phil and his driver. Phil's kind of spraying the ball everywhere right now and struggling. So, Hazeltine's going to be interesting. We'll be there. I mean, I'll arrive Wednesday at Hazeltine.
Of next,
I think the Days Inn is $450 a night. We rented a house.
Yeah.
So we have a house up
there. Pack a tent.
Yeah, I'm telling you, it's going to be fun. But this is exciting. I mean, the large media presence here for the final tournament of the year, big dollars on the line, and all the big media players from PGA headquarters are here. So our bosses are here, Tim. I've got to be on my best behavior.
and don't forget, always a challenge.
Yes.
And don't forget, the money is significant. It's a $10 million bonus to whoever wins the FedEx Cup playoff, the $10 million, and it normally, at least recently, has gone to the same person who wins this tournament. So that means it's an $11.5 million payday because you win 1.1 for winning the tour, 1.5 for winning the tour championship, and then the $10 million bonus. It's an $11.5 million weekend for that guy if it comes out where you win both. But either way you look at it, and then there's bonus money on top of that. We talked about that earlier in the week, too, so that even if you finish in fifth or seventh or eighth place, there's hundreds and hundreds of thousands of dollars that get added on to that individual for wherever they might finish bonus money-wise, too. So a lot of money being doled out here. And I think, Frank, we're not kidding anybody here. A lot of people can thank, most everybody can thank Tiger Woods for exactly where they're at right now. It's because of Tiger and what he brought to this sport in the last 17, 18 years that instituted the FedEx Cup playoffs, and let's get a playoff system, and let's get a big bonus pool of money and everything. And suddenly these guys that are getting these $1 million bonuses or $800,000 bonus for finishing in 15th place can thank the money that Tiger Woods brought into this this sport way, way back when. Thank you very much, Tiger Woods, who's not even playing anymore. We all have to look forward to the Safeway Open in Napa, California, at the Silverado Resort when Tiger finally gets back to action. So we're talking about what's going on right now and what's happening at the Ryder Cup. There's going to be just as many eyes on what's happening in Napa when Tiger finally breaks out the sticks and plays for the first time in a year and a half, that the drama on the PGA Tour is not going to take what normally is a little bit of a lull in that fall season when we have the wraparound, but there's some events a lot of guys take off, and it's a little bit usually slower paced. Suddenly, Napa is going to be crazy.
It's nuts.
Talk about what the price of rooms are going to be. It's going to be crazy in Napa when Tiger makes his return.
Yeah, it's going to be nuts. And we'll be there also, believe it or not. So Frank's never – my dog doesn't remember me. I'm never home. But, we talk about all the big money, and in the last minute or so we have, Tim. Yeah, there's a lot of money that's being paid out. But there is a boatload, I'm in the billions of dollars that the PGA Tour and the tournament directors, the tournaments themselves, have doled out to charities in the local communities. So it's just not a bunch of guys getting rich out there playing golf. It's a bunch of guys giving back. And that's, I think, probably right. The most important thing in all is what the PGA Tour does for charity.
Yeah, it's a win-win for everybody, and that's what's been great about it. And again, you know, the we've mentioned this a number of times, you don't have nearly the issues, if you will, off the course that you have off the field with other sports. So even from a PR standpoint, you're not having to kind of patch things up. We remember a few years ago, Dustin Johnson had some issues, and thank God he's overcome them, and look where he's at now. He's done a phenomenal job of coming back from that, but you don't have those same kind of issues. So they not only generate money for themselves, for local communities, phenomenal in giving back to charities, but you've also got some great role models, the guys that are playing on the PGA Tour.
Yeah, it is. It's a different breed of cat. And they take care of their own, too, all of us out here. I mean, we all know each other in the media, and the players know us. We know them. And everybody kind of watches out for everybody else. You know, it's a pretty neat environment. So, anyway, we're having fun. It's the Tour Championship, baby. Coca-Cola and Southern Company, equal partners in sponsorship this week. FedEx Cup playoffs, this is it. This is the end of the 15-16 season, and we just restart real quick. Worn out. Wow.
Dustin, there's no week. I mean, no break for the weary here. Dustin Johnson has the lead again as we wrap things up here. Dustin Johnson at 9-under. He is on a sixth hole, so he has a lot of golf left to be played. 2-under on his round, but he has a 3-shot lead over Ryan Moore and Kevin Chappell. Jason Duffner and Hideki Matsuyama are at 5-under, so they're 4 shots back. And a lot of guys still in the hunt. We never know what's going to happen. Rory McIlroy not 3-under, so he's 6 back. And you never know what's going to happen at the Tour Championship. But again, everybody looking up at Dustin Johnson. And the way he's playing his game right now, unless the wheels completely come off and the oil starts leaking, it'll be almost impossible, I think, to catch Dustin Johnson. We're going to wrap things up. Thanks so much, everybody, for being with us. And we will be back with you Monday. We'll wrap everything up that happened at the Tour Championship. And then look for us at the Ryder Cup. We're never going to leave you out in the dark. If it's happening in golf, Golf Talk America will be there. For Frank Bassett, I'm Tim Matthews. Thanks for listening to us today. And please join us next time right here on Golf Talk America. Bye, everybody. Another birdie.